Okay, now it's your turn. We're going to take your phone calls with our special guests, Jose Arguez and Stephanie South. Just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jose, familiar with the work of Edgar Cayce?
Sure.
What do you think?
Edgar Cayce?
Yeah.
Well, I think he had a lot of things going. I think he had some spot on things to say about Atlantis.
And do you think you really didn't get into 2012 too much, though, did he?
No, he wasn't. He didn't have that specifically. But he saw a lot of things coming, and I think a lot of the things that he saw coming are very much in line with what a lot of people are becoming acutely aware of these days.
As enlightened as the Mayans were, what happened to them? Where'd they go?
Well, that goes back to my understanding that when the timing and everything was in the timing, and at the point in which they had been here, what you would call at the end of their 10th Bakhtun cycle, at approximately the Christian year 830, the mission was up, and a lot of them beamed back up. Let's say the situation with the civilization that they got going was basically a type of front for the type of galactic synchronization work that they were doing here on this planet. And by the last centuries of it, there was starting to be decadence, of course, and so on. And so they knew at the time it was up to terminate that phase of the project. And so the main responsible galactic agents beamed back up and left instructions with those that remained. And you have a remarkable change in the Mayan civilization following that date. And it doesn't really pick up again for another couple hundred years. And we have the second stage, which is nothing like the first stage.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. First-time caller, Ted. Go ahead, Ted.
Hello, I got a question for your guests.
Sure thing.
On the 13-month and 28-day calendar that you got, I was wondering about the regular calendar that we got now. We got 12 signs of the zodiac, and if it was 13 months on the other one, which one of the zodiacs are missing?
Well, you know, there's a new sign of the zodiac that astrologers have talked about, and that's, I think it's Ophicius,
mm-hmm.
the serpent,
right.
Which would come, I believe, between Scorpio and Sagittarius. So the astrologers have already been thinking about that.
It's all set. What kind of legislative change would this have to be? This would have to be worldwide, wouldn't it?
Yeah. If it was going to occur in that way, it would have to be worldwide. That's how we've taken this to both the United Nations and to the Vatican. That's where it would have to be taken up.
Okay, next up, let's go to Portland, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Hi there. I've seen a board game called the Seven is the Seven Telectonin Revelation. It's a radial matrix plasma universe model, Ning Tig term of Mayan galactic time.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how it relates to your work.
That's one of the fourth dimensional tools that Stephanie had mentioned, okay? I brought forth. That is to help train you into the telepathic frequencies that you can develop through following the 28-day cycle. 7, 7, 7, 7. That's the 4 7-day weeks in the 28-day cycle.
Okay. Next up, let's go to Lila in New York. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning, Guy. I just wanted to ask, it's kind of related to my experience, to Mr. Jose. Is it possible that we have a three-dimensional right now?
Is it possible? Say that again.
Three-dimensional present.
Explain that. Do you understand that, Jose?
Right now we're operating three-dimensional.
As we go every day through the experience, is it possible that we can travel and not be aware of it?
Oh, yeah, that's very possible. In fact, I think that happens many times. I think a lot of experiences sometimes will just kind of lose track of what we're doing and then suddenly realize that we're someplace else. So we might have like a deja vu type of experience, or some type of sudden flash will come up. We feel like we should do a particular thing. That's because we're actually, as I said, we're using in our third dimensional track, we're using 10% of our brain to keep it all going, but the other 90% is doing other things. So some of it just might be sleeping, but other parts of it might be doing some little time traveling on our behalf.
You know, looking at the lid, the sarcophagus lid of Pakal, some say that he's sitting in some kind of flying device.
Yes.
What do you think of that, Jose?
Well, that was that's what we call close but no cigar. That was come up with the Russian researchers who were into you know, the cosmonauts and everything, saw that there seemed to be a very remarkable similarity between when you turn that lid sideways and look at it, and it looks like Pakal Votan seems to be operating a spaceship that has a very strong resemblance to that. He's actually depicted in what we call in a process of interdimensional time travel in that sarcophagus lid. And he didn't need a spaceship.
No, not at all. Let's go to Jacob, east of the Rockies in Kansas. Hey, Jacob.
How you doing, George?
Good.
My question for your guest tonight is, what percentage of the population do you believe will not make it through this transition or cannot fathom it or think outside the box?
That's a good question. When you look at see how many people can think outside the box right now, it's not too many. We believe that like those numbers will start to increase greatly over the next few years. And as we approach 2012, that we might be having what's called a mass awakening, which is really what we want to have happen. Because right now we're in a process of what we call mass disillusion is occurring, and that is very upsetting to many people because they see that what used to work doesn't work anymore. But disillusion is what precedes awakening or enlightenment, because then you want to see people having a mass awakening as we get closer to 2012 and realize that they're going to be okay. The end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine that the old order is collapsing. And so if we can put out the positive energy for mass awakening, then you know we will have a considerable population that remains. But you know that's our job is to just remain in the positive.
Absolutely. Though you wouldn't be surprised if we got hit with a huge solar flare around 2012, would you?
No. Yeah, go ahead, Stephanie.
Yeah. And that's why we feel it's so important that the purification process, both of our, I'm sure all the listeners and everybody out there are feeling different shifts in our actual physical body and the sensitivities that are happening, like maybe you can't eat what you used to eat or do what you used to do. It has a supreme effect, because as the earth is undergoing its huge purification process, it's so important that we're on a path of purification and really aligning with the earth's frequency so that we can remain close to the earth through the shift so we won't be spit off.
Well, let's go to our next wild card line, Oakland, California. It's got you down. It's Planetary Mirror.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jose.
Yes.
Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, George, too. Sorry, I forgot you. Hey, everybody. good question, Sam. John, Planetary Mirror from Oakland.
Planetary Mirror.
Network. Yeah, what's up? Hey, so I'd like to bring to light some question about kind of the rifts between the network. Like, there's this whole Planet Art Network behind the 13-Moon Calendar Change Peace Movement. And, you know, especially in America, it seems there's a lot of, like, difficulty in getting together. And, you know, whereas there's a bunch of great movement in Australia, Japan, all the rest of the country. It seems like America is the tough one to crack.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was just, like, curious.
Why do you feel that is, or what are you feeling?
Well, you know, it's kind of, it's that we're very individualistic. We're such an individualistic culture. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of difficult to get the grasp on community as much, because we're just like walking around by ourselves over here. I mean, it's been in work. We've done a lot of good work, and I think we're working on it. But you know, how are we going to accelerate this to match the acceleration of time and you know, all the paranoias that happen in this society?
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question, Planetary Mirror, that since America has been the leader of the pack, as it were, that along with that produced, as you say, a tremendous amount of individualism, and the values of cooperation still haven't come in there. Maybe that over the next year, as more and more people become unemployed or more difficult circumstances, that the quality, the virtues of cooperation and selflessness that are necessary to create genuine community will start coming to the fore. In the meantime, it's just really important to remain absolutely persevering and steadfast, and know that, like, wherever you are, that there's some different kind of test. Everyone's experiencing test and trial.
Well, and it's not going to take too many people to make this change, is it, Jose?
No, it's not. It's not going to take too many people. All you're looking at is getting a critical mass. As more and more people begin to understand what this is, that we're going into a frequency shift, that we can begin to participate in this frequency shift, and that in that way, that's how we begin to take control, as it were, over what's happening in our lives. Because the more we see that, the more we're going towards the new frequency that's, say, for instance, represented by the 13 moon calendar, and along with that, the lifestyle changes, for instance, that Stephanie's been talking about, that those actually go hand in hand, so we can get to a much simpler level of community style where we become telepathically upgraded.
Stephanie, what was your favorite part of the biography?
What was my favorite part of the biography?
Yeah.
Well, that's a really interesting question. I'm just not sure if I could pick a really favorite part. To me, it was a whole, like I said, it was like one complete imprint or one complete transmission. I think the whole message of the biography, though, is really showing how we're all going through this third dimensional experience and simultaneously going through a, say, fourth dimensional or higher dimensional experience, and it really shows Jose's life and opening into this other reality or into the fourth dimension and all the third dimensional struggles that all of us have to go through to get there.
All right, next up, let's go to Mary in Independence, Missouri. Hello, Mary.
Hello, George, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Bienvenidos, Jose and Stephanie. It's
Hello.
Great to hear both of you. First place, I am Mayan. My mother was Mayan. I have two questions to ask you, Jose. One is because of volcanoes that are erupting and the earthquakes. Now, do you feel that this is going to happen more stronger, intense before the 2012?
And also,
I wanted to know, you were talking or you were speaking about the different areas that were going to be stronger in the south of the equator and also in the north of the equator. Now, do you see or do you feel anything in North America?
Okay. The first part, yes, there will definitely be getting, there'll be definitely more and more intense events, earthquakes and so on, that will be occurring as we get closer to 2012, because as the human mental field becomes more chaotic, it actually affects the Earth's the Earth's field too, and so that's just the natural feedback for the chaos that we're experiencing and perpetrating on the Earth, and so then that all becomes part of the purification process. And yes, we do feel we would like, for instance, as we see very strong center actually in the area of Mount Shasta, and someplace in Northern California, Southern Oregon, we see as a very good, strong place.
Do you see anything in the middle of United States? George, like St. Louis or Kansas City or somewhere Independence or somewhere like that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, we're getting too far west there, Jose.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what you got to do then, the main thing is like, okay, if you're going to be talking about there, then I would say head for the hills, head for the Ozarks.
That's right. She's right in the middle of those almost.
Yeah.
Let's go to Diego in Madera, California, first-time caller. Hi, Diego.
Hi, George. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question. I'll just open to either Stephanie or Jose. I just had a question about the significance of the number 11. I've been seeing it like crazy the past couple months.
And, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I actually asked another friend, confided in that friend, and said, you know, hey, I'm seeing this number 11. And he kind of surprised me and said, you know what, I'm seeing it too. So I'm just wondering what your guys' take on that is, and I'll take my answer off the air.
We see it all the time, too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The time
me too.
Comps, right?
Everywhere. You know what? You know what's starting to happen to me now, Jose and Stephanie? I am now starting to see 11:10.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to see it before the 11:11. Which I saw all the time. Well, I wonder what that means.
Well, it means
cognitive.
You're precognitive, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the 11:11, of course, is because that's the precise moment in the Greenwich Mean Time on December 21st, 2012. The 11:11 is when the shift point, when we're aligned completely with the galactic center. So that 11:11, that's where I think that's coming from. Comes along in the mass consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding that, also, like, that's a very interesting number, that 11, if you throw the dice, getting 11 is one of the hardest things to do, because you can only get it with the 5 and a 6, okay? And that also in the Mayan numerology, the cosmology of the numbers, in the Mayan system, the 11 is very interesting. It has connotations of both of dissolving and also of liberation. So that we're definitely in what you might call a phase that's characterized very much by the cosmic qualities of that number, because the artificial structures are dissolving. At the same time, that's an opportunity for the liberation of the mind into the natural frequency. Thanks for asking about that, Diego.
Stephanie, I should ask you, where do you get the book 2012, Biography of a Time Traveler?
Well, you can get it at all the major bookstores should have it, Borders, Barnes & Nobles, and Amazon.com, www.newpagebooks. It should be in every major bookstore by now.
Yep, very good. Did you have fun writing it?
Oh, I had an amazing time. I went through many morphs.
I understand that. All right, stay with us. We're going to come back for final phone calls in just a moment with our two special guests tonight. Very thorough person when it comes to 2012, the work of Jose Arguelles. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, final segment now with your phone calls. Our next guest on Coast to Coast will be Mellon Thomas Benedict. He died of terminal brain cancer, but returned after being gone for an hour and a half. Fascinating experiences and incredible stories. That's our next Coast to Coast show. As we move toward 2012, Jose, are you hopeful for the future of our planet? Do you think eventually we'll be okay?
Oh, most definitely. Excuse me. As I said, you know, we're just basically closing down one cycle and getting ready to go into another one. It's like, you know, when you need to have a big house cleaning in order to get really off on a fresh start. That's you know, from a cosmic perspective, that's what it's about. That's what we're trying to communicate to people, that we're actually shifting cycles, and we want to make sure that there's a clear transmission of consciousness going from one cycle to the next. And the cycles involve a process of our own cosmic evolution.
And, you know, on that date, December 21st, 2012, we're not going to see something like happen on that day. It's happening now, as you said.
Yeah, we're already experiencing the Earth changes, and we're what people sometimes refer to as the quickening. Now, excuse me, we're seeing this quickening process as we get closer to it. We have a convergence of what more or less types of destructuring types of events, earth change types of events, and at the same time, a convergence of greater consciousness going to this, knowing that, well, everything ultimately in the cosmos is always going to higher frequencies of harmony and cosmic enlightenment and illumination, and so that's where we're going. We have to try to keep a perspective on that. We have to really keep getting the word out that no, it's not the end of the world. It's just the end of the world as we know it. And not only do we feel fine, but we're going to feel even better when it's done.
So is it the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end? What is
it? It's right now. It's the end of the beginning, and it's the beginning of the end, and the end of the beginning. It's both of them because we're going into a new cycle. And so,
do you find that people, let's say in Australia, are aware of 2012, or are there other regions on this planet where people are more tuned in?
They're very aware here in Australia of 2012. There's many of the main magazines and have articles on 2012 all the time, and I think there's a real growing consciousness here in Australia, and now even in New Zealand as well is starting to catch on, and they're having a 2012 conference. So I think it's really catching on everywhere, and in Japan it's huge.
I just came back from a 2012 conference a few weeks ago in Los Angeles. It is growing. You're right about that.
Yeah, it's an actual phenomenon, as I said, because it's actually in our program. It's in our genetic evolutionary program, and so the buzz is getting louder and louder every day. And you know, of course, it's just a sprawl of books and websites and so on, as I mentioned earlier, that are appearing on this. And that's only just because it's becoming like almost like a fixation in the human consciousness. And it's that demonstrates that the consciousness is already being very, very much affected by just the very fact of this date approaching. And then, of course, depending upon what your ideological persuasion is, what your belief system is, you're going to interpret it in different ways. Some people, it's going to be the apocalypse. Some people, it's going to be the second coming. When the Jehovah's Witness people come to the door, I talk to them, and I asked them, do you think that's going to be really soon? You know, and they believe it's going to be soon. They believe that the kingdom of heaven is going to be coming here. So, like I said, we're talking about the final stage of the harmonic convergence, of 2012. And people, as we get there, people will know where to go, what to do, how to prepare. And we're going to be seeing already a heightening of awareness and intelligence and a growing telepathic type of understanding between people.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll start it off by going to Santa Cruz, California. Hi, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, hello, Jose, Stephanie, and George.
Hi.
Hey, Jeffrey.
I've actually had the pleasure of meeting both of you before and having the honor of Jose being on our last album.
Sound Tribe?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good memory.
Sound Tribe Sector 9.
Correct.
Great band.
Correct. And 1320 Records.
Yeah.
But my question to you guys is, I just, you know, wanted to talk a little bit about art and music and what you see its role in this transitional stage.
Well, that's a really good thing that you brought up, because I don't think we hardly touched on that at all. Our perception is that in the new stage that we're going into, that, yeah, as you know, we're going from the philosophy of time is money to time is art. And time is art. The value of how you use your time is what's important, not how much money you can make from that time. And we see that the value of art is going to zoom way up. And people are going to, in the sense that also people are going to be discovering their own artistic abilities and talents. So we've always seen that it's very important for artists to become really conscious at this time and to be able to communicate the power of art as a principal means of cosmic awakening, as a principal means of expression of the cosmic frequencies. And we encourage artists, more and more artists, to come together and even in larger groups, or to come together and create events, not only where it's the artists that are performing, but where the artists are inviting the audience to participate more and more in the performance. We actually would envision on December 21st, 2012, we envision like a huge phenomenal artistic type of expression to be occurring all over the planet simultaneously at that time as a triumphant sign of the awakening of human consciousness into the new time.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Barbara in Gardena, California. Hey, Barbara.
Good morning, all. Jose, can you explain to me, where do the dead go?
Where do the dead go? That, again, depends upon the belief system of the deceased. Because according to what you believe, then that's what you will experience or where you will go. And there's a very large realm of the afterlife that exists. But certain things are very definite, and that is that, like, you should really make sure that you've got a really cleared your conscience in this life. And since you don't know when you're going to go, it's a good idea to do kind of mental and spiritual house cleaning every day.
But you do believe there is a hereafter, Jose?
Yeah, there is a hereafter. There most definitely is. And there's different dimensions that accommodate the different beliefs of people who are passing on.
Stephanie, you share that view?
Yes, I do share that view. And in the biography, in Jose's biography, it tells the story of how his son, as I said earlier, was killed shortly after the harmonic convergence. His 18-year-old son was killed in an automobile accident. And right after that, Jose received several visitations and telepathic messages in communication with his son in light of that everything does go on, that our soul does go on. And he gave him several important messages that actually shaped his whole the whole nature of his work now.
Meridian, Idaho. Charles, it's your turn. Hi, Charles.
Hi.
What's
your turn tonight? I just have a comment about time.
Sure.
You know, time, really, if you look at the clock, it's just counting 1, 2, 3. I mean, the way we look at time, we look at it as past and future. But really, time is like one eternal moment in the ever-flaming now. Because now is past, now is future. You know, I mean, 2012, you know, I like 2112, the Rush album, but 2012, I mean, you know, for us to fix on that date and you know, say all these absolutes of earthquakes and this, the awakening is happening. I mean, it started 100 years ago with all this knowledge that increased on the planet. So, and also a comment on that number 11 thing. Yeah, the number 11 numerologically is a master number, like 22. But also number 11 in Kabbalistic terms, in the Kabbalah, you know, the number 10 is the final manifestation, like Earth on the Tree of Life, 1 and 0. You could look at 1 and 0 as man and woman. Number 11, symbolically in the Kabbalah anyway, number 11 is actually an evil number because it represents duality of the Creator. But anyway, back to time. Time is the now. We are in the now. If you really think about it, our lifetime is a blank in eternity.
True.
And really, now is the present. The present, your breath. The present is now. Now is the present.
There's no question about that, Charles. And this now moment is at the very center. That's where everything is synchronized. And the more that we can live in the now and synchronize with the reality that is present there, that's also the portal to higher knowledge, to transcendental knowledge. So you're You're absolutely correct with that, Charles. Thank you very much.
Jose, how do you feel about really being the one to bring us the awakening of 2012?
Well, like I said, I was born into it. I knew that when I was 14 that I had a particular mission. And I knew that when I did the harmonic convergence that it was opening a portal to 2012. And I knew that that was what the whole event was about, what everything that all my life work was geared to that. So I to me, it's like I don't think too much about that. It's just that's what I do. This is why I'm here. I would say that I'm very, very thankful that I came. I knew I was at one point that I was looking for someone who would be my apprentice, someone who would understand my knowledge and could do something with it. And in that regard, encountering Stephanie has been very, very helpful. She's been a very integral part of it because through the biography of a time traveler, she's been able to objectify this mission I've had. And I think that as readers will see, she was able to really understand the mission I had in this life and to understand that all of the events of my life formed a particular template or a blueprint which allowed me to undergo continuous transformation in this process of getting being in a place where I could continue to communicate the awakening that's necessary to humanity.
Okay, let's go next to Ben in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks for holding, Ben. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, George. Appreciate it. Listen
sure
to
thing.
You all the time.
Thank you.
Very, very inspiring program you have. My question to your guest tonight is, I caught the, him saying about 1260 time, and then he said 1320 time. And I just wanted to explain that. That's one question. And my other question is relative to artificial time, relative to artificial frequencies and how would they affect, you know, our natural frequency that we receive from the universe.
Sure.
Those are my questions.
Thank you very much, Ben. The first part, the 1320, that has several different meanings. It's a racial constant. There's what's called the Tzolk'in or sacred calendar that the Maya used, which is a 260-day, that's 13 times 20. As it turns out, this 260-day cycle, the fourth dimensional cycle, meshes with the 365-day cycle perfectly every 52 years to create a large cycle, which corresponds, as I mentioned earlier, to the circuit of Sirius B around Sirius A. And when we use that 260-day 1320 frequency in conjunction with the solar calendar, 365-day, then we are putting ourselves into a higher consciousness frequency is coordinated with the masters on Sirius. Now, with regard to the other, I also want to add a thing about the 1320, really bringing it back home. We have 13 major articulations, two in our body, and we have 20 fingers and toes. So we ourselves are 1320. The other question about artificial time has absolutely disrupted nearly all of our natural frequencies, and it's in the process also of disrupting many of the frequencies and migration patterns of the other species on this planet. So a lot of what we consider to be the insanities or the mental illness or the use of drugs or whatever, all of that is due to the dislocation of our natural frequency through being continuously bombarded with artificial frequency and the effects of artificial time and frequency known as civilization.
What's the major message, Jose, you would like this planet to know, to take with them when they hear you?
Well, the major message is that we've deviated from nature, and we've deviated from nature because of following mechanistic time and an irregular calendar. And the message is, you know, we can all return to sanity and return to wholeness by returning to living in the universal cosmic cycles of nature, We can everything that we retain from history that's good and valid and solid through all the spiritual traditions, we can retain that, and we can reestablish a sane cosmic civilization based on living in natural cycles, based on cultivation of self-sustaining economies, non-polluting technologies, and so on. We can do that, but we have to return to live in the natural cycles of the universe.
Let's go to Brandon driving in Des Moines, Iowa. Real quick call. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hi. I'm glad to be on here, longtime listener, and it's great to hear all your guys' information. I mean, it's all great. One of the things that really surprised me that you brought up was the 13 self-sustaining communities, because about 7 years ago or so, I actually had a vision about one of those, and it's something that is frequently on my mind and drives me to work and to strive to make as much money as I can to put something like this together.
Yeah.
And my plan was mostly in the northeastern part of California, but I'm also an apprentice myself, and me and my teacher have talked about putting one in BC as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, great.
Yeah, and I just thought that was really interesting that you brought that up, because I've only heard a few other people talk about that. And what's funny is about a week ago, for the first time, I talked to my mom about it, and she actually had the same idea pretty much my whole life.
Wow.
We'd never even mentioned it to each other until last week.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think people are being tuned in. Jose and Stephanie, I think you would agree. We are rapidly running out of time. Stephanie, thank you for being with us for the full 3 hours. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, George. This is my first radio program.
Good for you. And Jose, you are truly a remarkable man, and I want to thank you, and we'll continue talking with you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, George, and God bless you and everyone who's listening right now. The times are only going to get better. It's our consciousness that's improving.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.